I want to give the Lord thanks first and foremost for His love, His grace, His mercy, and for everything that He's doing in our church, in our families, in our marriages, and everything He's already done. He's already done far too much for us, but He continues to do. God is good. Hallelujah. I want to thank my beautiful wife and my three lovely girls for their support. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Robert, Sister Veronica for this opportunity they've given me to share on a Sunday morning. And I just want to thank the Church of God. You know, I love you guys, and there's a great sense of family here in this church. It's a beautiful church, and I'm grateful to be part of it. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. Yes. Amen. And I just want to thank my dad and my brothers for coming to support me this morning. Amen. I'm grateful for them as well. And I pray that the Lord move in a powerful way in their lives and that He just maintain my voice. Amen. I had the privilege of speaking on Wednesday as well. And I think I just went too far with my vocal cords. So today I'm going to take it a little bit easy. Amen. The Word of God reads like this, chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Verse 3, Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated 'sent.' So he went and washed and came back seeing." Amen. Let's join in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for, Father, just who you are in our lives, God, for allowing us to know you, God, for allowing us to have a relationship with you, for allowing us, God, to be called your sons and daughters this day, Lord. We thank you for that beautiful privilege that you've given us, God, to be your servants, to be your children, God. I pray, God, Lord, that you just take full control of everything that is going to come out of my mouth, God, that I may be but a mere mouthpiece to what you want to say to your church today. I pray, Father, help me to speak your word with authority and with confidence and with a zeal, God, a zeal for your word, Lord, a passion to speak, God, your precious word, your holy word, your mighty word, God. I pray that you move in the hearts of your people this morning, that no one will leave this place the same way that they walked in. And Lord, we're just careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. The Church of God says, amen, amen. You guys may have your seats. I think I'm going to be in problems, man, because when I was over there in the corner, I was already sweating. I hadn't even got over here yet. So I might be dripping in a little bit. Amen. The Word of God says like this in the Scriptures. It says, at the time of this miracle, Jesus was already nearing the end of his earthly ministry. He had already predicted his death twice to his disciples. And he had recently escaped a situation in which the Jews wanted to stone him. But we read in here in our opening verses, it says that as he was passing by, Jesus saw a man that was blind from birth. As he was passing by, Jesus saw a man who was blind from birth. It didn't say he called out, "Jesus, Son of David," like the lepers did. It didn't say he followed the Lord and wanted to get his attention like many others did in other chapters before this. It said, as Jesus was passing by, he caught the eye of the Lord. This man was there minding his own business. He was blind from birth. And as we know, what we know about with the lepers, when they have an infirmity, a sickness upon them, right away they think that it's because of something they did. They think that it's something their parents did. They look at him as a sinner. They look at him as a no good. They look at him as an outcast. So no one paid attention to him. His whole life, he probably, people will ignore him like every other blind beggar, like every other lame person. People probably walked by him over and over. But it says right here, as Jesus passed by, Jesus was probably with the multitudes all around him. Because everywhere he went, he had a multitude of people with him. But even with that multitude, the Lord still noticed that man in the situation. He still noticed him in his distress. The man didn't have to cry out. And although Jesus was fleeing from the stoning a few months ago, and he was on the move and he was purposeful, because how do we all know that everything Jesus did, he did with a purpose. Everything that Jesus did, wherever he went, he did it with a purpose. He did not just do things to do things. He did not just pass the time and say, oh, well, I'm going to have fun over here with my disciples. No, he knew that his time was short. So he said, I'm going to go and do what my Father called me to do. So although Jesus was going with a purpose, he still had time enough to turn around and notice that blind beggar sitting there on the side of the road. Jesus took compassion upon him. And although everyone else saw a sinner, Jesus saw someone ready for a miracle. Jesus stopped walking in whatever direction he was going and took notice of the blind man and his situation. That although he was surrounded by many, he stopped and took the time to notice this man and his affliction. This man, like many others, was viewed as a sinner, as a no good. Just as Job, right? Job considered the most righteous man in the land. Although he did everything right, he prayed for his children, he prayed for himself, he lived as a righteous man. He still had three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, that blamed his sickness on something he must have did. Regardless of how he led his life, regardless of the testimony that he gave before them day after day after day after day, they still saw Job's affliction as something that he must have done. So that's the mindset that the Jewish people had, and that's the mindset a lot of people have today as well. When they see a drug addict on the street, they say it's because he's a sinner. When they see a homeless person on the street, it's because they say he's a no good. But they don't know the situation that brought him there. They don't know that one day God's going to be glorified in their situation, just like he's being glorified here in this blind man's life. They're quick to judge. It says the first thing that came out of the disciples' mouth was an accusation of sin. While the Lord looked upon this man, upon him with compassion, the disciples saw him, looked upon him with judgment. That's why they asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know how when we were back in school, they would tell us there's no dumb questions? Well, that's a dumb question. Because how did he sin in his mother's womb? Right? So they said, did he sin or did his parents sin that he was born blind? That's how much these people were caught up in the mindset, right? That mindset that every sick person is a sinner, that every drug addict is a sinner, that every homeless person is a sinner. They think that everything that happens to people that have something wrong with them is because of their sin. They're quick to jump to conclusions. But don't they know that it rains on the just and unjust alike? If God brought sickness to each and every one of us because of our sins, we'd all be sick and dying. If their theory was right that God brings affliction on the sinner, we'd all be sick. Right? We'd all be sick. But God doesn't work that way. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning, that we are not consumed by our sinful ways, that He has compassion and His compassion faileth not. It says in Psalms 103 that He does not treat us as our sinful ways deserve. Here they were walking with Jesus every day, seeing Him lay hands on people, healing the blind, healing the lame, casting out demons. But they still couldn't grasp what God was about to do in this man's life. They still sought, they still had that mindset that they grew up having. Although they walked day by day, side by side with the Lord, and the Lord invested, and the Lord poured into them, and the Lord showed them by example, not just talking about it, but doing it. And they still saw things the way they wanted to see things. They still saw Him as a blind beggar. But aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't see us as the world sees us? Where the world sees hopeless, Jesus sees hope. Where the world sees sickness, Jesus sees healing. Where the world sees a dropout, Jesus sees a teacher. Where the world sees a gang member, Jesus sees a preacher. Where the world sees a drug addict, Jesus sees a world shaker. God doesn't see the way we see. God doesn't react the way we react. God sees us for who we could be, not who we are, not where we are, but who we are, we could be with Christ. God sees the good in each and every one of us. Aren't you glad that the world doesn't, that Jesus doesn't see you as the world sees you? And although the Jews and the disciples seen the blind man as a hopeless beggar, Jesus seen him as a miracle waiting to happen. He said, this man is not blind because he committed a sin. This man is not blind because his parents committed a sin. Jesus was telling them, your focus should not be on why this man is blind, because he was born blind through no fault of his own. You've been around me long enough to know that your focus should be on what I am able to do through this man's situation. You've seen what I can do. You see how I'm attracted to the ones that no one wants anything to do with. I go to the no goods. I go to the beggars. I go to those that have no hope. I am here to give the hope to hope, give hope to the hopeless. He said, I'm here to do the work of the one who sent me, and that He be glorified in all that I do. My time here is limited, He was telling them. I must do all that the Father has sent me to do while there is still daylight, because the night is coming soon. So as long as I'm here, I must glorify the Father through all that He has called me to do. As people of God, our focus should be on the works that God has called us to do as much as we can for Him while it's still day. Because tomorrow is not promised to no man. So we got to take advantage of every day that God gives us to live for Him, to serve Him, to do what He has called us to do. It's a privilege to be a servant of God. It's a privilege to be one that puts his hands to the plow. It's a privilege to be one who could speak His name in the streets, saying there's a Savior, there's a God, there's one who came and died for your sins. You don't have to live like you live. God loves you. God cares about you. He wants to change your life. He don't want to see you the way you are any longer. It's a privilege. God has given us that honor to be His ambassadors, to be His mouthpiece, to be those that voice in the wilderness that cries out, there is hope There is a King. There is a Savior. There is a God that loves you and cares about you and wants to do what he can for you. There is one who restores everything that the enemy has taken from us. There is one who moves on our behalf, who intercedes on our behalf, that everything we've done wrong has been wiped away. The Word of God says that he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. I heard it said like this, or put like this, that he didn't say he separates our sin as far as the north is from the south, because if you go far enough north and if you go far enough south, they're going to meet each other. But if you go far enough east, and you go far enough east, and you go far enough east, you're never going to hit west. You could keep going as far enough west, and you're never going to hit east. So he separated our sins. He forgot our sins. He buried them in the deepest ocean. He no longer counts our sins against us. So when the enemy comes and lies to you and tells you you're no good, you tell him, I am the Son of the Most High God. I am the Son of the Savior. When the enemy comes and tells you you can't do something, you tell him, I can do something. In the name of Jesus, I could do all things in Christ who strengthens me. God is good. God is good. Our focus as servants of God should be on the higher calling that he has put upon our lives, to do what he has called us to do without losing focus. The time is now. The time is now. Pastor Rob has been saying, the time is now. There's no reason to keep waiting. What are we waiting for? God's already done what he's done. He's already done what he needs to do for us to start doing our part. Just like he went and he spit in the mud and put it on the blind man's eye. He told him, you go and wash your face. You go and wash it off. Because if you want this miracle, you have to do something on your part. I already did my part. I already did what I'm going to do. You go wash your eyes. And if you believe that you're going to see, then you're going to see. If you're going to believe that you can preach, you're going to preach. If you believe that your family is going to be saved, then keep praying. Then keep fighting. Then keep fasting. Then keep separating. Because God is no respecter of man. God does not lie. His promises are yes and amen. So we know as children of God that God has given us promises. We feel them. We know them. We hear his voice. We know our Father's voice. And when he gives us a promise, you better make sure, you better know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you just got to do your part. You keep interceding. You keep praying. You keep doing what you need to do to bring your loved ones to the house of God. Don't look at the situation and say, well, they don't want to come. They keep telling me no. They said they don't need God. They said they're all right. Because everyone in this place was all right at one time. But look at us now. We're here serving the Lord. I'm trying, Brother Bobby. We can't keep wasting our time thinking whether it was this man's sins or his parents that caused his blindness. Remember, we were all blind at once. And Jesus came to give us sight. For some, the world turned their back on us and nobody wanted anything to do with us. And if even we weren't the ones that hit rock bottom, we were still blinded and doomed to eternal damnation. Whether we thought we were good, whether we thought we were important, whether we thought nothing was wrong in our marriages, in our households, in our children, there will be a day that we're going to be judged for everything we did. But as children of God, guess what? Not guilty. Not guilty. The price has been paid. Not guilty. Thank God that Jesus one day was passing by and he saw us. Whether it was through the home, whether it was through a flyer, whether it was through a testimony, Jesus was passing by and saw us. And thank God for his grace and thank God for his mercy. Because where would we be if it wasn't for the Lord? God did not rescue us to sit idle by either. He did not rescue us from the enemy's grasp. Many people think they weren't in the enemy's grasp because everything was okay. But if you weren't serving, this world only got two masters. Yeah, you're either going to serve one or serve the other. So if you're not serving God, guess what? You're serving the other. The Lord did not rescue us from the grasp of the enemy so that we could sit idle in our salvation. He has commanded us to go out there and make disciples of all nations, to spread the good news of the Lord. Even the blind man was professing the name of Christ. If you continue to read what he did after he got healed, the Bible says that he told his neighbors that Jesus was the one who anointed his eyes with clay and he washed it off and he was able to see. Then they took him to the Pharisees and they told the Pharisees, "This is the man we're talking about." And the man told the Pharisees, "Yes, I'm the one that was born blind and now I'm able to see." And they said, "No, we don't believe you. You're lying. Go call your mommy and go call your daddy so they could come and tell us that you were born blind." So they called the mom and they called the dad and they said, "Mom, dad, was your son born blind?" They said, "Yes, he was born blind." But the parents still refused to give glory to the Lord because when they were scared that they were going to get put out the temple. So they cared more about being part of this sect that only wanted to see what they see, and they probably got mistreated anyways. They cared more about that than their son who was born blind his whole life, and that there was a man who came and was able to give sight to the one who'd never had sight before. How twisted is that? How caught up is that? That's the world nowadays. We go out there and we profess the love of Christ. We don't tell them they have to change. We don't tell them they need to do what we did. We don't tell them nothing like that. We just tell them that God loves you, that God sent his one and only son to come and die on the cross so that you may be saved. That's all we tell them. And they still said, "I don't care if my son was born blind. I want to stay in the temple. I want to do what I do. I want to live how I live because it's fun." Right? They still want to do what they do. But how is it fun? They forget about all those times they're fighting. They forget about all those times they're hugging the toilet. They forget about all those times that they get kicked out of their homes, that their kids don't want to talk to them, that their spouses don't want to talk to them. They forget all that for one night of fun, and that's all that the enemy allows you to remember. Come on, somebody. That's the devil's a liar, man. He's a master of all lies. He makes us think that everything's all fine and dandy because we tend to focus on the party night but forget the miserable year that was behind it. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he healed ministry. He had many encounters with the Jewish people. He had many encounters over breaking the Sabbath, over saying he was the Son of God. And they were saying, "That's blasphemy. You can't say you're the Son of our God, the Most High King." But they didn't care that he was saying he was the Son of the Most High God. They cared that he was demeaning their authority. That's all they cared about. They didn't care that people were getting healed. They didn't care that people were getting delivered. They didn't care that Christ came and gave sight to the blind, made the lame man walk. All they cared about is that Christ was demeaning their authority. But they said, "Oh, you're sinning against our God." They didn't care about God. They cared about their suit. They cared about their stature. They cared about their position. They didn't care about God. Because if they cared about God, they would see that Jesus fulfilled prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And everything that they were waiting for was already there, standing in front of them, doing the miracles that they said were going to be done. But that's how blind they were. That's how they only wanted to see what they wanted to see. Many folks get tied up in seeing what they want to see. When it's clear as day that Christ is there, he says, I stand at the door and knock. All we need to do is answer that door. Beloved brothers and sisters, the enemy is trying to do the same thing today in all the Christian churches. He's trying to take the focus off the Lord by making us focus on ourselves. He's trying to sneak in a spirit of pride and entitlement into the church among the members that results in division. It results in frustration. The Word of God talks about that in Revelations when the Lord gave John the vision for the church at Ephesus. He said, I know your works and your labor, and that you cannot bear to see those that do evil. But one thing I hold against you is that you have lost your first love. You get caught up in serving. You get caught up in acting like you're a man of God, a woman of God. You get caught up in all the do's and don'ts. But you forget about the love of Christ. We forget about who came and delivered us. We forget because, oh no, I got to do this for Pastor. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy. But when you do it for Pastor, guess what? Pray unto God and say, God, I'm serving you as I serve my pastor, as I serve my leaders. I'm honoring you, God, with my heart. I'm serving you. I'm doing all things unto you, God. Yes, it may look to the human people or to the natural eye that I'm doing it unto a man, but I'm not doing it to no man. I'm doing it unto God because he is worthy of anything that I could ever offer, any service I could ever give him. He is worthy of all that and so much more. But the natural eye doesn't see that. They say, oh, you guys are brainwashed. Oh, you guys give them your money. They keep collecting pledges. But they don't know that we're able to give that pledge because God gave us first. We're able to give that pledge because God gave us first. Every man you see in here that's blessed, guess what? He's a giver. He's a giver. He don't give because he's blessed. He's blessed because he gives. That's how God works. God doesn't work the way man sees things. The way, oh, invest your money here, invest your money there, and you'll get, what is it, revenue or whatever the word is, right? Profit. Brother Dan, the stock broker. Right? It ain't like that. It's like that poor widow who only had two mites. She gave everything she had. Why? Because she knew that God would take care of her. It's like that poor widow that fed Elijah when Elijah came and he said, feed me. And she's like, wait a minute. I only have enough for my child and myself, and we're going to eat this and we're going to die. The world's going to be like, why would this man go ask her? Right? But God doesn't do things the way we think things should be done. God doesn't work the way we think it should be worked out. All we need to do is, as people of God, is we need to trust him. When he says, go and peel that mud off your eye, guess what? I'm going to go and peel that mud off my eye because I want to see. I want to see what God has done. I want to see what he's going to do. And I want to see everything that God has for me. So we can't let that spirit come into the church. We got to pray against that spirit. We got to guard ourselves. Be watchful against spirits like that come into the church. Yesterday we had a powerful prayer meeting next door. It was powerful, yes. It was powerful. It reminded me When we started praying, first and foremost, everybody came in joyful. It was early on a Saturday morning. Early on a Saturday morning. It was cold and early on a Saturday morning. But everyone came in ready, happy that God has given us an opportunity to come together as a family of God and lift up His holy name and praise Him and honor Him and give Him our petitions. Everyone was happy. And when we started praying, it was like when the Lord says, make a joyful noise. When he told Joshua to go around the city. And on the seventh day, just shout. Shout unto God. That's what was happening over there. The walls of Jericho were falling down. Everything that we prayed for, God is going to do in this church and the families of this church. Everything that we were praying for. God is good. Because my voice should have been gone a long time ago. God is good. God is good. We can't allow that religious spirit to come into our church. God has done too much. We got to hold fast to our first love. It was such a blessing to see the women when they came up here and had the woman take over. That was a blessing because those women were on fire. And woe be unto us that have been here for years and not have that same fire that they have. Because we should know that much more of what God can do. Of everything, of His goodness, of His righteousness. And that we don't deserve none of that. But just like that poor beggar that wasn't asking for his sight to come. He wasn't asking. He didn't ask Jesus like everyone else said, Jesus, have mercy on us. This man was just sitting there minding his own business. But Jesus came and interrupted his miserable life. And he said, I'm going to be made manifest in what's going to happen in this man's life. And that's what God has done for each and every one of us. He has come and transformed us and renewed us. He has turned all those things that the enemy meant for bad in our lives for our good. Every experience that we have, he's used it to build us up, to make us the men and women of God that we are. Even though the enemy intended it to destroy us, to bring destruction, God used it to mature us. God used it to grow us. God used it to make us be steadfast, immovable when those things had come our way again. God uses all those things so that we wouldn't fall for the okey-doke time and time again. So if you guys, if there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord, everything you're going through has led up till this day here today, this time here and now. Everything that you've went through, every trial that you go through, every fight that you've had, every argument, every separation, God has meant it so that you could be here today. And see that He is good. And that His mercies endure forever. And that He does not treat us as our sinful ways deserve. And for those of us that have been serving, we got to serve with that joy that this blind man had. It says that he went and told his friends. And when his friends took him to the Pharisees, he went and told the Pharisees. And the Pharisees didn't believe him. And they asked him again. He said, man, I already told you. Do you want to be made a disciple as well? And they got upset. That antagonized them. But he didn't let the fear of what these Jewish men were going to do stop him from glorifying the one that just gave him sight. Because he said, I don't know if this man's a sinner. Because they said he's a sinner. He said, I don't know if this man's a sinner or what he is. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. And that God's not going to do a miracle that great in a sinner. He's not going to use a sinner to do something like that. And the Pharisees didn't like that, and they threw him out. They threw him out because that's not the answer they wanted to hear. But that man made a joyful noise unto the Lord. The word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We should not stay quiet. Just like the lepers that we learned about on Wednesday. For all the faithful Wednesday people, amen. Right? They didn't stay quiet. They didn't stay quiet. They weren't only saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us when they wanted something. But after they got their miracle, they continued to praise him with a loud voice. They continued to honor him and give him praise and give him glory. They didn't say, oh, I'm healed. Now I'm cool. I'm all right. Why does this brother keep shouting every time they say the name of Jesus? Why does this sister keep yelling every time they say the name of Christ? We forget that when we needed the Lord, we cried out. Right there with our mocos and everything. We were like, oh, man. Oh, Lord, come and save me. Come interrupt my life. Come, Lord, come bring that healing. Bring that salvation. We didn't let no one quiet us and no one stop us. So why would we let anyone stop us or pride come in the, into the house when it's time to praise the Lord? When it's time to praise the Lord, we should lift up our voices and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting me see when I was once blind. Thank you for letting me know you and love you, God. Thank you for my mom, for my dad, for my brothers, for my sisters, my children. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are so good to me, that you do not treat me as I deserve, God, because I'm a no good, I'm a sinner. But yet you wash me clean. Thank you, God. I'm not going to stay quiet, and I'm going to sing when it's time to sing. I don't care if they don't like my voice. I'm going to praise you when it's time to praise you. I'm going to lift up your name on high, God, because you are worthy to be lifted up. You are worthy, oh God. As people of God, we gotta understand that there ain't no one like our God. There ain't no one good like our God. There ain't no one faithful like our God. Because this world will disappoint you. I know men that have been at their jobs 20 years, and the next day they got a pink slip and said, we don't need your service no more. They said, man, it's all about my job. I'm a good worker. They ain't never going to let me down. They ain't never going to fire me. Here you go. And that's the truth. But God will never let you down. God will never fire you. God will never dismiss you. That's why it's so important that we know where our strength comes from. That we know that our strength comes from the hills where we lift up our eyes and see the King. As people of God, it's not only enough to praise Him, but it's time to put our hands to the plow. It's time to put our hands to the plow because there's people dying out there in the streets of Pomona. All you need to do is walk down hole and go south or go east or go west. Right? And you'll see. You'll see that the enemy, he ain't stopping. The enemy, he's not taking a break. The enemy don't say, well, it's Sunday. They're at church. I'll be all right. No, he's still dragging people through the mud. So we need to have that same urgency that we had when we want to change, when they need the change. God has called us to be His hands and feet. God has called us to be His voice. It's no longer about us. God's already done the miracle work in us. God's already done what He needs to do in us. It's time that we allow Him to do His work through us. Amen. Let's all stand. The word of God says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hear my voice and opens, I will come in to him and dine with him, and him with me. God is calling us to dine with him. God is calling us to serve Him. God is calling us to surrender to Him. It's no longer time to focus on ourselves. We can't get caught up in what this man did to me, what that woman did to me. We can't get caught up in those things because we're all human beings. Don't focus on your brother. Don't focus on your sister. If they harmed you, if they hurt you, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. It was such a joy when we were next door and I heard men praying for this brother, this brother, this brother. Women praying for this sister, this sister, this sister. That showed me, wow, there's love in this house. There's love in this house. We got to continue to intercede for one another. It's like the world says, united we stand, divided we fall. We can't let the enemy bring division into this church. We've gone through so much in this church. We've been through the wilderness in this church. And we're still here. So don't let the enemy lie to you. Amen. Let's all join in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your beautiful word. We thank you for your faithfulness, your righteousness, your goodness.